What's up, and welcome to the Real Life Podcast. Real Life is the student ministry of North Highland Church located in Columbus, Georgia. We exist to reach others with the love of God, engage in Christian community, advance in our faith, and lead others to Christ. For more information about Real Life, you can visit us at reallifecolumbus.com or follow us on all social media platforms at Real Life Columbus. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you enjoy.
What is up, Real Life? How's everybody doing tonight? I love you. You're awesome. I want to do something special tonight. I know I usually ask who's ready for God's word, and y'all cheer and make me feel real happy because that makes your pastor feel so good. But tonight we've got a special person that I think we need to take some time and pray for real quick. There is a young lady that told me before service this is her last night in Real Life because she's graduating from Teen Challenge. And if you don't mind, would you please stand to your feet right now? No, stay standing. I'm so sorry. What's your name? Cameron? Cameron is beautiful. She is a woman of God. She is going to change this world. And so for all my Teen Challenge ladies around her, if you don't mind, put your hands on her, and we're going to, oh, we got two, praise the Lord, hallelujah. What is your name? Iris, that is awesome. Two warriors for Christ. Three. Oh, no. What is your name? Catherine. Awesome. Congratulations. All right, so all of our, yeah, one more time. Praise Jesus. We love you guys. Can we just stretch our hands towards these young ladies? We want to bless them and thank God for them. They are family. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for these three incredible women of God. Lord, I thank you for the transformation that has taken place in their life. God, I know that the amount of pain we can endure is directly proportional to the amount of blessing you can pour into our lives. And they have endured much, and they are going to be blessed much. They are, whatever they go to do, God, I pray that the favor of God rests on their life, that you would establish the work of their hands. God, I pray that you would protect them, anoint them, call them forward. Lord, I thank you for the high calling that you've placed on them. God, there is nothing that is impossible for them because they believe in you, they trust in you. And God, help them to know they always have a family in Real Life. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. Congratulations. We will miss you for sure. So who's ready for God's word tonight? What an incredible week this has been. I don't know about y'all, but I enjoyed me some last week. It was a good night last Wednesday. Amen. It's been resonating in my spirit all for the past few weeks as I pray and as I pray for you and I pray for this ministry and this Real Life family. What has been resonating in my spirit, deep in my soul, is it's not over. It is not over. Your story has just begun. Praise the Lord. God, what God is doing in your life, it's not over. Amen. In Jesus' name, it's not over. God is not finished with what he has started in your life. My Bible says, he who has begun a good work in me is going to be faithful to complete it. Amen? If you missed last week, I want to challenge you to go on iTunes, Spotify, whatever you want to do. Simply click the link on our social media, at Real Life Columbus. If you're not following, you should be. And listen to last week's sermon. It will bless your life. But the foundation we laid last week, and I want to be careful to share it again this week, is I want this deep in your spirit. It's the very essence of the gospel of Jesus Christ is no matter what things look like, no matter what the appearance of your circumstances, no matter what it looks like, it's not over. Amen? Last week, the sermon was titled, I called it Dropped. And I really enjoyed preaching because I got to share some of my wife's story. She is my favorite person on the planet. Praise Jesus. Isn't she beautiful? She is the most beautiful woman of virtue I have ever laid eyes on, and I am one lucky man. And I love her, and I love her story, but some of her story has heartbreaking moments. I always enjoy talking about my wife, and so she's one of the most inspiring people in the world to me, and I want to share another part of her story and parallel it again to God's Word tonight. Last week was dropped, and the title of my message tonight is Beaten. So, Father, I pray that you would anoint your Word. God, open our ears. Soften our hearts. We pray for the sweet spirit to just rest in this room. God, have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. The foundation of tonight is found in a promise of God that we find in the book of Romans. And it's a common verse that most people know. It's Romans 8:28. It says this. It says, "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose." Amen. That's a good promise. The hard part about this promise is that God causes everything to work together for our good. And so that means God causes and uses even bad situations to bring good results. That's the hard part, because obviously bad things happen to good people. Amen? Sometimes we have to go through the bad to make it to the good, and God, to the good that God has for us. See, God is going to turn around the junk we have to go through for our good, because it's not over, real life. Some of us are going through some junk tonight. You're going through some bad situations. You're dealing with some circumstances that you would never ask for. But God is still going to use those circumstances for your good if you'll just allow him to. See, a few years after Jubilee's dad died, Jubilee's mom got remarried. And it was a great situation. Her stepdad asked Mama Shirley to marry her, and he didn't just give Shirley a wedding ring. He gave all the kids rings. It was a beautiful symbol of his love and affection, that I'm not just marrying you. I want to marry your children. And it was an awesome expression of his love. He was a business owner, and he had some resources. I mean, my wife used to do some fun stuff as a kid. She had her own little dirt bike, four-wheelers. Like, they had property. They were going on vacations. You know, she was living her best life, right? And he eventually adopted all of them. He took it, after a couple years, he took it to the next level and said that, "I want to adopt all of you. I want you to have my name. I want to be your father," which is awesome, because obviously it's hard to be raised fatherless. And something happened after a few years of bliss. The economy took a turn for the worse, and Jubilee's stepdad lost his business. And everything tanked. He lost his influence in the community that they lived in. He lost the majority of his finances. He lost his emotional stability. The stress and the anxiety got the best of him, and the pressure that he was under caused him to go through a chemical imbalance and a deep depression. And as Jubilee's stepdad was going through the storm of his life, the mounting pressure was too much, and he became abusive. See, it started with yelling and verbal abuse, but it didn't take long to get physical. It was bad. There were times where Jubilee and her twin brother Judah would simply be behaving like children should behave. They were arguing over a Nintendo game, right? Back in the day, Nintendo, we old. But simply because it was bad timing for her stepdad, he would literally pick her up. This is a 350-pound man, would pick her up with both hands and throw her across the room, hitting into the wall, and then proceed to jump up and down with all 350 pounds on their video game console, destroying everything. Or, for example, the puppy that was barking, and it annoyed him, and so he would take his belt off and use it to whip Jubilee and Judah intensely because their dog wouldn't shut up. How fair is that? there were times where he would beat Judah, leaving marks on his face, on his body, just to torment Jubilee. She would be in trouble, and he knew what would hurt her the most would be to watch her twin brother be pummeled, even though he did nothing wrong. And so he would force her to watch him beat her twin brother. See, she was beaten. He told her often that she had evil eyes. You got evil eyes, girl. Don't look at me. He would slap her strongly across the face because he didn't like the way she looked at him. He had knee problems, and so he had these big ice packs that he would use to ease the pain on his knees, and they were so big, he would throw the huge ice packs at her and as well as other things around the house, and they would hit so hard that once she told me that he hit his own son with one of these ice packs, and he was on crutches for days. That's how hard he was throwing these things. See, there will be times in real life, I'm sharing this real story to communicate, there will be times when the world we live in will literally try and beat the life out of us. That's the world we live in. And tonight I've come to share this. If you feel beaten tonight, God wants you to know it's not over. If you feel beat down, it may not be physical abuse, but if you feel beaten by something, maybe it's a temptation, maybe it's a circumstance, maybe it's a failure, maybe it's a relationship that's been destroyed. If you feel beaten, I've come to tell somebody it's not over, real life. See, God wants to give you some strength tonight. He wants to lift you up over your current circumstances and help you see that there can be some good that comes out of the mess that we're facing right now. God can work all things out for the good, everything, even the bad stuff. See, you may be beaten, but it's not over. Jesus had resurrected from the grave and inspired his disciples to change the world. Paul and Silas were traveling together, preaching the good news that Jesus is Lord, and we're picking up in Acts chapter 16. Starting in verse 16, it says this. It says, once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave. This is crazy. She had a spirit by which she predicted the future. This woman was demon-possessed, y'all. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." Over and over, she kept this up for many days. And finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the evil spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." And at that moment, the spirit left her. And when her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas, and this is crazy, they dragged them to the marketplace to face the authorities. Real life, this proves we live in a broken world that has been tainted by sin. Just because we live obedient lives does not mean hell won't try and stop us. Just because you're doing what you're supposed to do doesn't mean hell's not going to come knocking at your door. That's the world we live in. Don't let this scare you, because no matter what hell might throw at us, it's not over in Jesus' name. Amen. My Bible says in 1 John 4:4 that greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. Isaiah 54:17 says, "No weapon formed against us will succeed. You will silence every voice that is raised up to accuse you." Man, Paul and Silas were doing what they were supposed to be doing, but this demonic force started tormenting them. I don't have time to unpack all that is here, but I find it thought-provoking that the demon was using the truth to torment Paul. See, sometimes the enemy will try to use even the truth against us. These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. These men are servants of the Most High God. This is the way I read my Bible. I think of different emotions, like, "Oh, these men are servants of the Most High. Hey, these men are servants of the Most High God." Or, you know, she's saying it over and over and over again. Why would she say it the same way? It would be even more annoying if she's like, "Hey, God, hey, y'all, what up? These servants, the Most High God, they're telling you the way to be saved. Come on with it, right? She's switching it up all the time. It's weird. But the other thing that sticks out to me in this situation is this demon-possessed woman was antagonizing the disciples for days. Like, what if I spent just 2 minutes? These guys are the servants of the Most High God. Like, you're already tired of hearing that after 3 seconds. She's doing it for days. Over and over, she would say the same thing no matter where they were, no matter what they were doing. She was following them. They allowed her to talk for days. And guys, this should teach us that too many Christians are sitting back and allowing things to happen in their lives that should never be allowed. Too many of us are just walking through the motions of life, allowing hell to torment us, allowing the voice of the enemy to even manipulate the truth against us, and we allow these things to stay in our lives when we should rebuke them immediately. Maybe it's the after prom party that takes a turn for a worse, and we do nothing so our physical relationship takes a dark turn when we should have said no. Our reputation takes a beating. The pornographic account pops up on our social media account, and we don't unfollow it. Therefore, guilt and shame begin to beat up our self-worth. Someone starts bashing the church or someone that is a part of your real-life family, and instead of standing up for them and shutting the conversation down, you accept what you endorse, even when your silence makes things worse. See, we allow things to continue in our lives when we should shut it down immediately. Day after day, this demonic woman kept after Paul and Silas, and Paul finally reached his limit and said, "In the name of Jesus, get out." What would happen if we got angry at the evil that keeps taunting us? I'm praying that someone tonight would find their courage to stand up like Paul and say, "Fear, you have no place in my life from this moment on. My God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind." I'm praying that someone in the room would stand and say, "Anxiety, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I've lived with this long enough. May the peace of God that transcends understanding rest on my heart and in my mind." Paul stood up against the evil, and he got beaten for it. The story continues in verse 22. It said the crowd joined the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they'd been severely flogged means next to death. They were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully, and not only were they beaten, they received these orders to put them in the inner cell, and they fastened their feet in stocks. My question tonight is this: how will we respond when things go from bad to worse? How are you going to respond when things go from bad? Maybe someone in the room had an incredible experience in the presence of God at this altar last Wednesday, and you thought, "Man, all my struggle, all my pain, all my problem has been left at the altar. Jesus is my Lord and Savior." And then Thursday came, and it was all hell broke loose in your life. What are you going to do when it gets from bad to worse? Last week, I shared the gut-wrenching details of a 5-year-old Jubilee and her father dying from an addiction to drugs. And this week, I've explained how she was beaten over and over and over by her abusive stepfather. I would say that is going from bad to worse. I don't know what you're facing tonight. My guess is before it gets better, guys, all hell is going to try to make things worse. I'm not trying to scare anybody, but I want to tell you the truth because I love you. But the good news that God has sent me to share with you tonight is it's not over. Come on, it's not over. What you're facing, it's not over. It may hurt, but it's not over. You may have cried until you can't cry anymore, but guess what? It's not over. You've still got breath in your lungs. How are you going to respond? Verse 25 says this. It says, at about midnight, this is crazy, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. These jokers had just gotten the life beat out of them, and they were praying and worshiping Jesus. Their response was, God, I love you. It hurts, but I love you still. Guys, God's word wants us to understand tonight that how we react to our circumstances will determine how quickly our freedom comes. How you react to the circumstance that you're facing tonight is how quickly your freedom is going to come. How we react when hell comes against us will determine how quickly our freedom comes. The prisons we face, the mind games, the emotional struggles, the tension we feel from the outside influences that we never asked for. These prisons can cause us to question, God, what are you doing? Why are you allowing this? God, what is happening? I am so mad at you, I don't even want to follow you anymore. But they can't determine how we choose to think. God has given you and I free moral choice, which means nothing that ever happens to you can force you to think a certain way. You have the ability to determine in your mind how you're going to think. That's the gift of heaven. They could have been bitter. They could have been angry. They could have said, God, they could have been in their shackles saying, God, why are you allowing this to happen to us? All we did was exactly what you asked us to do. So what's the deal, God? Where are you at? We were obedient, so here we are in jail. They could have been angry. They could have been bitter and shut the world out and sat in silence. Some of us are so bitter because of our circumstances, you don't let anyone in, especially God. But you stay in silence. You shut out your counselor. You keep people at arm's length. You do things to just keep people away because you're bitter. They could have lost their temper and lashed out on everyone around them. This isn't fair, y'all. I shouldn't be here. I didn't do anything wrong. Losing their influence and losing their witness. But that's not what they did. Paul and Silas praise God, lifting up prayers and singing hymns to God. Real life, we have to praise him in the middle of our mess because it's not over. We've got to praise him in the middle of our mess because it's not over. You got to get up on the inside and say, I don't know what tomorrow brings, but I know I need to praise him. I know I need to lift him up. I know I need to honor him. Man, I know. Paul and Silas, help us understand that just because our circumstances stink does not mean our spirit can't thrive. Just because you're going through hell doesn't mean you can't be happy. You don't even know what I'm going through. And guess what? My life is not easy. But God puts a smile on my face. He is my ever-present help in time of need. He is my Jehovah Jireh, my provider. He is my healer. He's my ever-present help. I can do all things through Christ, even when it doesn't seem like I can do anything. Because even though things may be going wrong, man, I can still thrive because it's not over. Man, you may be going through hell, but I'm here to tell you, you can thrive in the midst of it all. You can thrive. There is a line in the scripture I read just a moment ago that can easily get overlooked. But it's so important, and I promise it's going to help you tonight. As Paul and Silas were praying and singing to God, the scripture says the other prisoners were listening to them. In the moment they were in the middle of their mess, in the moment when they were singing and praying, the other prisoners were listening to them. See, if you're battling something hard tonight, please hear the heart of God through your pastor who loves you. I am so sorry you're dealing with what you have to go through tonight. I am so sorry that you're dealing with it and that it hurts. I get it. It's frustrating, and I feel your pain. I promise you I'm not trying to desensitize anyone in this room because emotions are real. Pain is real. Heartache is real. Struggle is real. But please hear me tonight. I've come to tell someone that what you are facing is not just about you. It's about everyone watching as well. what you're facing right now, the hell that you're walking through, it's not just about your life. It's about everyone else that's also watching. See, it's not over. After being beaten, this is how the story finishes, and I want to invite the band to come as we're about to close. This is so cool. Acts 16:26, it says, suddenly there was a violent earthquake, and the foundation of the prison was shaken. And at once, all the prison doors flew open. I'm believing that tonight there are some prison doors that are going to fly open because of the power of God that's about to fall. Everyone's chains came loose. I believe that all of us can have our chains loose tonight if we will just grab a hold of what God wants to do tonight. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, because if all these jokers leave, I might as well kill myself, because they're going to kill me anyways, was what he was thinking. He drew his sword, but because Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself, we're all here," the jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. And this is so cool what happened. He brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what can I do to be saved?" Wow. They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your entire household." They spoke the word of the Lord to him in the middle of their struggle, in the middle of their pain, in the middle of their adversity, in the middle of their heartbreak. They spoke the word of the Lord to him and all the others in his house. And at the hour of that night, the jailer took them out, washed their wounds, and immediately he and his entire household were baptized, because they were saved by Jesus. See, the story wasn't over. Yes, Paul and Silas were beaten. They did nothing wrong, and hell seemed to be winning. But they knew it's not over. And they praised God in the middle of their mess. Because of that jailer, his family, and every prisoner that was watching and listening, they came out saved. God turned everything around for the good. I want you to hear your pastor tonight. Listen to this very closely. When God allows pain in our lives, it is to produce a greater purpose.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed, make sure you hit the subscribe button for our weekly sermons, and don't forget to follow us on social media for updates. If you have any prayer requests, feel free to email us at reallifecolumbus@gmail.com. We'd love to partner with you in prayer. Be sure to tune in next week on the Real Life Podcast.